If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
And happy Groundhog Day to you all.
Six more weeks of winter.
Mumbo jumbo crazy. You sounded crazy doing that story.
I sounded crazy.
He waved his magic cane. Hobnob. Where was it? Hobnobble Hill or something?
Gobbler's Knob.
Yeah, that all sounds like it came right from Harry Potter.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
He waved his magic cane, and they pulled a dirty rodent out of a hole to read a scroll.
How many people were there for that?
Cuckoo. Over 50,000.
Good Lord.
Cuckoo. More than ever. Bed.
Cuckoo. I know it's tradition.
Kevin, I'm leaving now.
Cuckoo.
I got you.
I'm leaving now. You can do news and sports.
Cuckoo. Today.
Jack of all trades. I got you.
You can and you do.
You've earned it. You've worked really hard this morning.
Chicken.
So
what about the Groundhog and Woodstock?
I'm still waiting to see results. I haven't seen it.
Woodstock Wally.
Woodstock Willie.
Do they have a magic cane in Woodstock?
They may well have. And the inner circle.
They sprinkle some magic dust.
The tips of the magic arrows will be used to pick of the two scrolls
they may
will
as
be
well
read.
Have magic arrows. That's just as scientific as the rodents. So silly. You want to get meteorologists mad? Put some stock into all this. Demetrius Ivory was
talking. Well, you are not in the best of spirits this morning.
I am in wonderful spirits today.
It doesn't sound like it.
It's just a silly, silly thing. Demetrius Ivory was talking about how when people say, hey, the groundhog said blah, 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 blah. And versus all the actual radar and data and science.
Mm-hmm. But the groundhog said this.
Right. Okay, you want to believe a rodent? That's up to you. It's entirely up to you.
It goes back many, many centuries.
How did this start? Do we know this?
It started way back. Way back, Uncle Dean.
So in other words, you don't know.
No, if you stay tuned within the next half hour, I will have more information on this.
I can Google it. Is that going to be on the far-flung forecast today?
Spoiler alert, it is. So we'll have more information on this.
Will you wave your magic wand? That's what I read. Nel blu de pinto de blu. The song Volare. We don't play enough Italian music on this show.
That was a big hit 60 years ago or so.
Huge hit.
Huge.
I want a pizza right now.
This was a hit not long after Dean Martin had a hit with That's Amore.
This was the reason why I'm playing this. Not that I don't just generally enjoy Italian music.
Oh, you play this at home day and night, don't you?
Oh, and dance to it as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I have a whole dance
routine.
What
an image.
Yeah, I have a whole dance routine. This was the very first Grammy award-winning record of the year. Very first.
Around early 1960s?
1958.
Oh, 58.
It was both the record of the year and song of the year. Very first Grammy Awards that were given out. The album of the year that year. Very first album of the year. The music from Peter Gunn. How about that?
Oh, wow. From Henry Mancini, I think.
Hank Mancini.
Yeah.
That's correct. So we're going to be going back into, the Grammy Awards are tonight. And I thought we would go back into Grammy history today. And
That'll be fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, relive some of the Grammy award-winning songs.
That'll be great.
There's some doozies on here that won.
some years back.
Over the year, and some surprises as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Elvis Presley only won 3 Grammy Awards?
Is that right?
In his entire career.
All the gold records and
with all
platinum
the
records.
Gold records, with all the accolades, with all the everything that came along with being king of rock and roll. Only 3 Grammy Awards, all for gospel records.
Oh, yeah, because he did a gospel album or two,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Nothing for his rock and roll records.
Hmm.
What's a record, Uncle D?
Do they have to change the way in which the Grammy Awards, the physical awards, are made these days? Because people just download music and you can't really see a physical, you know, item to play the
music. Have an actual
music
record,
yeah,
anymore?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
Yes, you do.
Kevin, I got news for you. Most weeks we don't know what we're talking about either.
Oh, I love being back on this show.
We love having you, too. Where's Andy Mazur today?
I don't know.
Is he on vacation?
I think he is, yes.
I think he told me last
week. He's wintering. He's wintering.
Going someplace with the fam, I think he said, right?
Right, right. Should be back next week.
Probably working on his golf game.
Who said we'll let him back on next week?
Well, I'm hoping you will. Mm. You know, I have to ask permission every Saturday as to whether or not I can be here.
And
so far, so good.
Got a problem with that? No. Super Bowl. No, wait. No. Super Bowl's next week.
The Super Bowl is next week. The big game.
The big game.
The big game.
Do we have to say that? The big game instead of Super Bowl? Will we get sued if we say?
There was talk about what's the rule on that?
That was
Kevin?
A rule for a while there. I know with a lot of radio. I don't know if that's still the rule today, but I do know for a long standing period of time that
Super Bowl didn't want to be
right.
They didn't want to be tied to other promotions and sales gimmicks.
Correct.
And things like that.
Now I think it's like, well, the NFL is worth however billion amount of dollars. I don't know if it's still a rule. I'll look that up.
Yeah, they're not going
to. I'll do that in my next sports cast.
They're not going to go broke.
You have any stake in the game there, Dean?
I'll have whatever he's
got. Any interest in the big game?
I have interest in eating stuff during the game.
Oh, that I know.
That I love. That's the only thing I'm planning so far for Super Bowl. Recipes.
Do you know who's playing in the big game?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Who's playing in the big game?
Even I know that.
Who?
Philadelphia and Kansas City.
Oh, good for you.
You listen to that Andy Mazur every once in a while.
Yes,
huh?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if Kevin knows what 2 sports studs he's working with this morning.
He'll find out by 10 o'clock. We do sports analysis on the show,
yeah,
Kevin.
And here's how it usually goes. Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Oh, that's all. I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
Hey, I'm all about talking about Super Bowl recipes, man. I need something good to make this year. I've been on a heater the last couple of years, so I'm fine if we want to pivot to that at some point.
You know what? I'm going to be on my TV cooking segment this week. I'm doing a Super Bowl recipe, appetizer recipe. And then on Thursday, I'm going to be at the Jewel Store in Forest Park with Jeff Morrow from the Food Network.
All right.
And we're going to be doing some Super Bowl recipes together out there.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be covering up the grocery cart as you do the segment?
Mm. That's a very good point, because I do like to, I don't know if Kevin knows this.
He said as he took a swig of his water this morning.
That's my refreshing H2O that powers this show. When I go shopping, Kevin, I put my coat over the groceries because I don't want people judging me based on what I'm buying.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I don't.
And he actually has been stopped a couple of times in the store.
Yeah. Oh, people ask me all the time. It's like, how come you don't have your groceries covered?
Yeah, I don't think that's a issue. I think I've seen that before. I'd say it's rare, but you know. Sometimes
you're buying stuff you don't want people to see you buying. Or, you know, if it's like personal things.
Right. You bury them, you know, you bury like a medicine or a drug underneath the chicken or whatever else you're buying. Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I keep the adult diapers on the bottom of the cart.
Shawnee, you got one of those reads this morning, North Shore adult diapers? I feel like it's been a while since we've done one of those.
No, I have not. I do not. I do not. I do not. No.
When you were a kid, did you ever have to go to the grocery store and buy personal things for your mother?
No, a friend of mine did, though.
I did. It was like,
I didn't, but a friend of mine told me it was quite embarrassing.
I wanted to die. I did it not often, but often enough that it traumatized me. Going by this, I don't want to.
So this is where this is where this comes in now. A childhood trauma is why you cover up your grocery cart.
Funny, this is just the tip of the iceberg of things that are wrong with me.
In addition to your brothers ditching you at the movie theater, leaving you alone.
That's why I now have a profession where I go to see movies by myself. Shawnee, this just in, this is probably a Groundhog's Day bulletin that we're getting on our text line.
Okay.
Jimmy the Groundhog in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Says it will be an early spring.
An early spring. Is it in Sun Prairie?
Fie on that Punxsutawney Phil.
All right.
Who said that it was going to be a late spring.
That's in Sun Prairie?
Correct.
Okay. Early spring. Got it.
Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
Got it. Did you hit the breaking news sounder for that one?
I should have done
that. Yeah, Ryan Burrow's not going to be happy about that one.
That's right, because we have all the fancy music right now. I'm still waiting. Let me see if we've gotten anything in on this yet. I'm trying to get an update on what's going on in Woodstock.
Did they have a?
I'm acting like these.
Did they have
election
a ceremony
results
out there?
Coming in Woodstock?
Yeah, they usually do that really cool ceremony in Woodstock Square. I know Tom Skilling was the Grand Marshal of that
last
at
year.
One point. Was it last year?
Yeah, okay. It was last year for his retirement.
That's a hard one to follow up. I wonder who's doing it this year.
They do because the Groundhog's Day movie was shot there, of course. And they are doing something special today with related to the anniversary of the movie. So they've got big doings. This is the big weekend in downtown Woodstock. So hopefully we'll connect on all that stuff later on in the show today. What else do we have going on the show today? Oh, you know who's going to be with us on the health segment today?
Dr. Most?
Dr. Kevin Most.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Kevin Most is going to jump in.
What to eat and what to avoid on Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Well,
at the parties.
Yeah, we could ask him that. He does enjoy spoiling people's holidays. We've learned through the years he takes a certain amount of glee in ruining people's holidays. Just as you're about to dig into that queso dip, he's about to tell you how your arteries are going to clog if you do.
Grab an extra veggie tray.
Yeah. Veggies are nice on
some of them.
You want to know what? I don't want to get too far off the track here, but you know what I'm making? You're talking about Super Bowl recipes. On Wednesday, on my TV cooking segment, I'm going to be making Greek nachos.
Greek nachos?
Nachos. That are very similar to regular nachos, except I put gyros meat, you know, or as you Americans say,
gyros meat,
gyros meat,
tacos.
I want one of those gyro sandwiches. So I put the gyros meat. I put feta cheese. I put cucumbers, mm-hmm. onions, tomatoes, and the tzatziki sauce. You know,
that sounds great.
It's all the stuff that goes on a gyro sandwich, mm-hmm. but I put it with pita chips on a platter, and there you go. Greek nachos. There you go.
Yeah, you had me until the feta cheese.
You don't like feta?
I don't like feta cheese. It's probably going to alienate some people.
Greek salad is not a Greek salad without feta cheese.
Says you.
Feta cheese.
I'm good with it. Everything else on there, sign me up.
What? We can do, we can put the feta cheese on the side.
There you go.
More for me. Oh, I could.
That's brilliant, though. That's a great recipe.
Sounds delicious, yeah.
I had that at a restaurant in Palm Springs. I went to a Greek place in Palm Springs, and they had Greek nachos. I was like, oh, I'll try it and see what it is. And I've stolen the recipe and claiming it now for my own.
Unbeknownst to them.
They'll never know. They can't hear us there.
I'm telling. No? There's a little thing called the internet?
Ah, nobody uses that.
Shwani's right. Going to tell on you.
This internet thing is a passing fad.
I'm going to call him and tell him.
Imitation's the greatest form of
flattery. This guy I work with is stealing your recipes.
Stealing your recipes. I definitely stole
it. He is not giving you credit.
Well, I don't. For, number one, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but
I'll find out.
It's. I'm sure it's Pete's restaurant.
Pete's.
It might be Athenian Pete's Athenian room, something like that. Something like that. But I definitely stole the recipe, and I'm going to make it on Wednesday. Then on Thursday with Jeff Morrow, because we're going to be in the jewels. You know, you can only do so much in the grocery store. I won't have all my cooking implements with me. I'm going to be doing three different dips for Super Bowl.
A regular cheese dip and two others?
One that Kevin will hate.
Because it's the feta cheese.
It's a spicy feta dip. It's feta cheese dip.
What kind of spicy?
It's from crushed red peppers.
Okay.
Spicy.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
Believe you don't like feta cheese. What else? What are my other... Oh, I'm making an avocado and tomato bruschetta.
There you go.
Oh, that very good.
Avocado and tomato bruschetta. Super Bowl Sunday is the day on which more avocados are consumed than any other day of the year, mostly because of guacamole.
Because of guacamole and dip.
Yeah, and I've made guacamole several times on the show, so I'm not going to do that, but I thought this is a little bit different. You mix them up with some nice tomatoes and put them on some crostini bread, you know, some little toasted bread, maybe like garlic bread, something like that.
Sounds mm-hmm. delicious.
And mm-hmm. tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making, because I'm going to be, Anna Belaval from the TV morning show is going to be with me. I'm making something Puerto Rican for her, sofrito dip.
Okay.
Which is... green peppers, bell peppers, onions. It's almost like a salsa. It's almost like a tomato salsa. But it's a dip that you can put your chips into, or you can put it on like chicken fingers or something like that.
That's intriguing. Okay. When are you going to do that? I'm going to tune in for that
that's
one.
That's Thursday.
Thursday. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Wednesday, the Greek nachos. And Thursday is the dips.
Can you do the rest of the show in that accent?
In the Greek accent? Sure. Of course. It's my native tongue. Of course I can. Oh, look at the time. We better do this little commercial break. Snippy McSnippington with the news is waiting. Here we go once again, just kicking down that dirt road, skimming rocks on the pond. For the far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And here with the latest, as always, Dave Opie Schwann.
Have you ever tried to skip rocks on water?
I'm actually very good at it.
Are you really?
I developed this talent.
Don't believe him, Kevin.
Developed this talent when I was a Boy Scout.
Ah, yes.
At a Waspy Scout camp in wherever that is in Michigan.
Where
Whitehall? I think it's Whitehall.
Whitehall, Michigan, yeah.
I think. I learned that and how to smoke cigarettes.
In Boy Scouts.
In Boy Scouts.
Attaboy.
I got cigarette smoking merit badge. Not proud of that. Don't do as I do, kids.
You know, there is a real art to skipping those rocks.
Yes.
You know, just to get it just the right.
Got to hit it just at the right spot.
Do you know your own personal record? How many skips you got? I think I got a fiver one time.
Wow.
And I threw my elbow out after
that. You know, that was Andy Griffith's record.
Five?
Mm-hmm. You know that episode where he's trying to impress a young lady out at the pond in Thatcher's Woods?
Yeah. Can't say I do, but...
Yeah, that's I don't think I ever did that.
He says, see this rock? Five skips. And you hear...
Well, that's all the time we have for today's far-flung forecast.
I don't even need to watch
the episode.
Oh,
we didn't even go there yet.
Oh, pardon me.
I don't even need to watch the episode now.
Yeah, you're better off.
Spoiling.
don't do as we do.
Well, you know, where else can we go for our far-flung forecast today than Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania?
Of course.
It's about 85 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. And, of course, known for the annual Groundhog Day celebration. Mm. The name is derived from the Native American people that lived there, and the word evolved into Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Now, where does this event originate?
I hope you're going to bring up the magic stick.
The magic wand.
The magic.
And... And the magic scrolls and everything else goes way, way back to ancient European winter customs, where festivals were established anticipating the coming of spring, and they would watch animals, how they would behave in warmer weather. They, you know, if they ran back inside where they were hibernating, you know, well, okay, we got to endure more winter. So... In 1886,
if it was cold outside, wouldn't the animals go inside regardless?
Yeah. So, six more weeks of winter.
It's cold out. I'm going to go back in.
Now, I'm going to give a timeline here, a chronology.
Well, let me shut my
trap.
This
is why this show is a Peabody Show Award winner.
Yeah.
In 1886, German immigrants that settled in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, first observed Groundhog Day, falling back on the traditions that I just mentioned. In 1899, they established a Groundhog Club in Punxsutawney, which exists to this day. So if on February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil emerges to see his shadow, six more weeks of winter. Thus, the legend is born.
Cuckoo!
And Punxsutawney, there were 50,000 people in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania today to witness this under cloudy skies. It's 24 there. Definitely a wintry mix going on in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Just gray winter weather now for the whole week, as a matter of fact.
Do you think the people who were there watching it climb the poles like they do for Eagles parades and things like that? And go crazy in the streets.
It's too hard to carry your magic stick.
Well, this is closer. This is closer to Pittsburgh than Philadelphia. But you know what? You have a point. Okay. I don't know, Kevin.
I don't. Yeah, there's a lot of hate on the text line about Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, really?
Here's one. Please get the Woodstock Willie report. Not from Punxsutawney Phil, or the one from that retirement community in Wisconsin.
Sun Prairie says, well, we'll have an early spring.
Yeah.
We'll like that.
Well, we are going to be talking with the folks up in Woodstock in about 20 minutes. So we'll get the Woodstock Willie report coming up in a few seconds. A few minutes here.
Excellent.
Cuckoo. It is 9:40 in the morning. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on 720 WGN. A special edition of our Week in Health feature with the guy who helped us start it all. The great Dr. Kevin Most returns this morning. Hello there, my friend.
Dean, how are you doing?
I am doing fine and dandy on this dreary Sunday morning. You know, just trying to stay warm. Actually, it's kind of nice today, so... you know, no complaints on my part. I hope you're out on a golf course somewhere.
No, Dean, it's funny that you say that. It's I'm in Chicago now. I came up yesterday, but I left 70 degrees in Carolina blue skies to come up to 34 degrees in gray skies.
Mm.
How about that?
Nah, not the greatest weather upgrade for your part.
Not the greatest decision.
Yeah, yeah. It could be worse. Could be much worse. So February, here we are, second day of February, is National Heart Month.
And I think it's so important to talk about this because we talk about, you know, COVID, we talk about every disease there could possibly be, but heart disease is actually the leading cause of death for men, women, for people of all racial and ethnic groups. 1 in 5 deaths in America is caused by heart disease. I don't think we spend enough time talking about it. Talk to us about, why do you think that this is now so prevalent and such a killer?
The sad thing is how, I don't want to say how poorly we've advanced healthcare in cardiovascular science, because we've made amazing differences and amazing changes. However, we really haven't made a big dent in the impact of it as far as how many people die from it. And like you said, the leading cause of death in women, men, I don't care if you look at any ethnic race, it still comes down to this. And here in the United States, a lot of it has to do with our diet, and a lot of it has to do with our sedentary lifestyle. But even the science side of it, look, if you're not on a statin drug right now to take down your cholesterol, you're in a minority. I mean, most people are on statins now just because we know the impact that cholesterol has on heart disease. So hypertension, we're not really great at controlling for the most part. People don't like to take their medication sometimes. But really, if you do all the things you're supposed to do, you'll extend your life, but you still may end up with heart disease being the cause of your death, but you may end up with an additional 10, 15, 20 years. So we look at the extension of life as well as the impact of, you know, the most important organ in our body. You know, without our heart, we're not pumping blood to our brain. We're not pumping blood to our kidneys, to our lungs. You know, obviously, it is the most important organ we have.
So what do we need to do? You talked about weight. You talked about diet. Are genetics part of it? I mean, are some people just born with a predisposition toward some sort of heart disease?
Absolutely. 100%. My father died of a heart attack at the age of 61. So we obviously have it in our family. And there's a disease called familial hypercholesterolemia, which is a genetic illness that shows in families with very high cholesterol. So everyone in my family is on, you know, statin drugs to keep their cholesterol down because of this genetic reason. And there are other genetic reasons as well, because we're talking mainly about heart attacks here, but this is heart disease month. So there are other atrial fibrillation, there's other heart diseases besides heart attacks. But certainly there's some have a genetic proportion, but a lot of it has to do with ourselves and the things that we do, whether it be diet or smoking or lack of exercise.
So what role does high blood pressure play in heart disease?
Yeah. You know, we look at the heart is a pump, obviously, right? So you want to have that pump to be the most efficient pump it can be. If you have a pump that's pumping very efficiently and it doesn't have to raise blood pressure, you're not straining the heart as much. And the strain of the increased pressure causes damage in your kidneys, causes damage in your eyes, causes damage in your brain. So certainly it causes heart problems, but it causes more problems outside and away from the heart because it's pumping harder than it needs to. So people who say, I don't want to take my blood pressure medicine, please reconsider that. And if you have a side effect, talk to your doctor. There are hundreds of medicines that will lower blood pressure that are inexpensive and have very low side effects. So certainly something that individuals should look at. And some people say, well, you know what? I didn't have high blood pressure, but my doctor still put me on a medication for blood pressure. And you're like, wow, does that make sense? And it certainly does, because it also then will decrease your chance of coronary artery disease and decreases your chance of doing any end organ damage and keeping your heart pressure, blood pressure, where it should be.
847 area code texts in. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. My doctor told me it causes heart disease. How can those two things be?
Yes, absolutely. So sleep apnea, for those people who don't know what that means, essentially the individual stops breathing in the middle of the night while they're sleeping. And what happens then is the oxygenation drops down to a point where it startles them and makes them take a breath. However, that is a huge strain on the heart, because you're going where you're not giving the heart enough oxygen, and then you're stressing it, and you're doing that multiple times. People with sleep apnea, this can happen 10, 20, 30 times, you know, in a very short period of time. It can happen hundreds of times overnight. So certainly letting the oxygen levels drop down to where your heart's not getting enough oxygen, and then startling it and making it work really hard, much harder, is not good for your heart health. So certainly, again, take a look at that. There's CPAP machines, which people don't like. There are some new surgical corrections for sleep apnea, but certainly take a look at it, because the sleep apnea is going to be stressing of the heart. And it's not going to be the lungs that are going to be bothering you, but it'll be the heart that's going to be your problem.
I was going to ask you about CPAP machines, because I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. And we must have tried 10 different masks, 10 different nose pieces, mouth pieces. I just couldn't get anything that made my sleep better. I told my doctor, if this is supposed to make my sleep better, wearing this mask is making it 100% worse, because I couldn't breathe. I mean, so have there been upgrades? This was quite a few years ago that I was going through this.
Absolutely. There's been upgrades in the equipment. And like you said, I mean, if you're like me, Dean, I have a hard enough time falling asleep when nothing is anywhere near me. So I don't know how I would handle a CPAP machine similar to you. But there are now devices that can be implanted in the body where it protects that, and it's turned on when you go to sleep. You might have heard of Inspire. I mean, there's a couple out there right now where it's like, okay, what we need to do is when we lay down and we're trying to sleep, our airway essentially collapses. It doesn't need to. So we can, and people who don't have sleep apnea don't have it collapse. So what happens? You turn on the Inspire, boom, it fills it up, does the same thing that the CPAP machine does, but it's surgically implanted. So much easier for people who can't tolerate CPAP to at least talk to your doctor about that.
Yeah, well, you know, going to bed with all that stuff on your face doesn't help in the hose, and suddenly you look like a character from Star Trek. Not exactly the most conducive for a good night's sleep. We've got
Dean, people with sleep apnea, and those sleep apnea is very undiagnosed. So if your loved one snores and you find them snoring and stopping, and boy, get that checked, because now you can do a sleep study at home. You don't have to go to the hospital to do it. It's very easy to do. But like you said, the impact on heart health with sleep apnea is very big. So at least if you have a loved one or that's a snorer, at least take the opportunity to make sure they talk to their doctor about it.
Yeah, that was now that you mentioned the sleep study, that was the other thing is, this was many, many years ago. I go in for the sleep study, and they wire you up, and then they say, well, have a good night's sleep. And you've got like 50 different wires that are plugged into you someplace. Like, have a good night's sleep. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. Well, I'm glad they made some changes, but I appreciate the question about that, because I know that sleep apnea is one of the causes of heart disease. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back. Honored to have Dr. Kevin Most on with us today to answer your questions. 312-981-7200. 953, our telephone number. 312-981-7200 to call in or text. Dr. Kevin Most with us this morning on The Week in Health. And let's go right to the phone lines. This is Nick. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yeah, am I on now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear it too good through my earpiece. For about 3 months, this is already a few months ago, I didn't drink much fluids. I only drank about four cups or glasses of liquid a day. The reason was, I was moving from one place to another, and I don't want. I was lucky to have several friends offer me rides, and I don't want to rent a cheaper van, which I could have done all in one day myself. But I have bad feet, bad knees. That would have been very difficult for me, if not impossible, to survive it all in one day. So over about 3 months, about 4 cups of water or a coffee a day, whatever, I feel that's what thickened up my blood and caused me to have a higher blood pressure from about my traditional 135, 140 reading up to about 180. Now, since then, I've realized that and started drinking more fluids. And in the meantime, I was taking some medication because I went for one checkup for my teeth, and they first checked my blood pressure, and I said, "Ooh, it's very high." And that's how I started to think about it. And since I've been drinking the liquids and taking the medicine, but I feel the liquids are what caused the problem originally. Can he speculate on it?
Yeah, what about the correlation between fluids and blood pressure, Kevin?
Yeah, Nick, really that doesn't occur. So our blood doesn't get thicker if we don't drink enough fluids. The kidneys, as long as they're working appropriately, will keep the dilution factor of our blood fine. What happens, though, is we don't have enough reserve. So when you stand up quickly, your heart has to pump faster, and really that can cause some problems. Now, as far as your blood pressure, be really careful about that. Blood pressure, high blood pressure, has no symptoms for the most part. People that have headaches because of high blood pressure, it's way out of control. So it would not surprise me, Nick, if you had high blood pressure long through this time, and really that the fluids really had nothing to do with it. But certainly keeping your fluids up is very important, but your blood doesn't get thick to a point where your heart has to pump faster if you don't drink enough fluids. But drinking enough fluids decreases the stress on your kidneys and also really makes it easier for your heart to pump. So certainly continue with the fluids, but that wasn't the wild card. You know, missing those couple cups of water that day didn't make your blood thicker and didn't raise your blood pressure. The stress of moving may have, I doubt that did.
815 area code says, I've had the Inspire implant for 2 years and love it. That's the device that you were talking about that replaces the CPAP machine, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's an individual, and without knowing more, probably couldn't tolerate CPAP, and that was now given their option. So glad it's worked out for them. Many people have done really well with it and really like it, and it's a lot less cumbersome. And, you know, like you said, the CPAP machine is hard to sleep with.
Yeah. There's all kinds of CPAP stories on our text line now of people who couldn't tolerate it. Here's one that says, I've been on it for 7 years. It took me a while to get used to it, but now it's great. So, you know, to each his own. Do whatever works for you, I guess. 630 area code says, I take metformin, which is a diabetes drug, but my doctor now has prescribed Januvia as a way to bring my A1C down. Can you tell me more about Januvia?
Yeah, so you're talking about two very popular medications for diabetes. Metformin, a lot of people are on it. I mean, it's probably one of the more common ones. And also, it's very inexpensive, I'll say. Where Januvia is a new one that improves how the insulin-producing cells make work better. So what we happen with diabetes is we often don't produce enough insulin, therefore we need shots. In type 2 diabetics, most of them produce enough insulin, just doesn't work well. But what Januvia does, it says, hey, you cells that are making insulin, we're going to tune you up a little bit. We're going to make you a little bit more healthy. So it decreases the production of one hormone that will increase the production of insulin and actually works better and will help bring down your hemoglobin A1C. So if your hemoglobin A1C was not doing well with metformin, this is a very common switch or a very common change to say, let's go to this one, which is going to work better on the entire cells instead of just how the glucose works. Very important.
Yeah, are these related to or similar kinds of medication to the ones that we hear about most often? We hear about them for their weight loss benefit, but I think they started as diabetes medicines, Ozempic, Mounjaro, all of those. Is all of that very similar?
You know, the treatment of diabetes varies so dramatically, and we at least have found better ways to do it. Now, Januvia and Ozempic, two totally different drugs, but still, the end result is, can I keep my blood sugar down? So if you're taking Januvia, you're not going to be saying, oh, well, then my kidneys are going to do better, my heart's going to do better, and I'm going to lose weight. No, the goal is there is going to be, let's make sure that your blood glucose comes down, your hemoglobin A1C does. So the GLPs that you're talking about, very common now for type 2 diabetics, because with type 2 diabetics, we often have a little obesity. So if we can knock down our blood sugar and knock down some weight, that's going to be great. The long game with that is still going to be, what happens when I stop taking the GLP? What happens when I stop taking the Ozempic? Does my weight come back up, and do my blood sugars, do I still need to go on a medication for diabetes?
Always great information, and as is reflected on our text line, everybody's so happy to hear your voice this morning. The great Dr. Kevin Most, we appreciate you joining us, pal. Talk to you soon.
You got a thing, let's do it again.
So we're going to have a little Grammy quiz coming up in a couple of minutes. Tonight are the Grammy Awards at 7 o'clock on CBS. And throughout the morning, we're going to feature past Grammy winners. I think we're going to have some fun with that. But we'll have a quiz, Schwani, coming up on this year's nominees.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just curious to see how many of them you might know.
I'm right. Ready for this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Kevin will be.
Yeah, you can use
Kevin. Kevin is by far the youngest person on the crew.
You can definitely use Kevin as your lifeline if you want to.
Okay. We'll just turn off the microphones. You won't know we're cheating.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cheating. All right.
Cheating's perfectly fine as long as nobody finds out. It is Grammy Sunday. Schwani, do you know who you're listening to right now?
Come on, Schwani.
No.
Take a guess. She's super popular.
Come on.
Come on, guess anybody. It's Beyonce, Schwani.
Oh, it's Beyonce?
It's Beyonce because she had the country album out this year.
Oh, okay. That's why I wasn't getting this.
And that's
okay.
Why she's up for quite a few Grammy Awards tonight.
She's pretty popular.
She's very popular. Very popular. Yes, she is. You know what? I like her. She sounds good. I believe I could get up and do the two-step to this number. This is a good song, this Texas Hold'em number that she's got.
That's an old song, man.
Yeah.
Texas Hold'em, yeah.
Well, she's nominated tonight. She's one of many nominated tonight. You know who else is nominated for Grammy Awards tonight? The Beatles.
I saw that.
How about that?
Okay, now, how can this be?
Now
how can this
happen? We've got his attention. Now.
I did see this. Now, explain to me how this works.
Well, remember they found that recording, a cassette recording, of the song called Now and Then.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then they went back and they added new layers to it and new vocals to it. I mean, John Lennon's vocal was already on it, but they went back and added to it from original tracks that they had and re-released it. And that song now, because it was never released before.
Okay, so then it qualifies for this then.
It qualifies, right.
Okay, good.
What's the category?
Record of the Year.
Record of the Year, yeah.
Okay. Record of the Year.
Nice.
Let me see if it's also, no, it's not Upper Song of the Year, but Album of the Year, Record of the Year, rather, for the Beatles. Who else? Taylor Swift. Is nominated, Schwani, for...
Well, she's pretty popular, too.
She should go on a concert tour. That's what she should do.
I understand she's quite well-liked.
I understand she's a big fan of football.
Yes.
And?
I understand she'll be at the Super Bowl rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm. Yes. I think it's fine.
Crack me up. Her song Fortnite, and she's presenting some award tonight also on the Grammys. Let's see, who else do we have here? Oh, let's see here. See if you can guess the name of this artist, also up for a Grammy tonight. And the artist Shawnee is?
You got it, Shawnee.
No.
You got it. I believe in you.
She is, I think this particular artist is going to have a really good night.
Yeah.
Got all the momentum.
Yeah, she blew up this year.
Yeah, she did. Chapel Rowan, Shawnee, is her name.
Okay.
Chapel Rowan. And the song is called Good Luck, Babe. She's also up for Record of the Year. Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
Who is going to be doing the Super Bowl halftime show this year. He's up for Record of the Year. Charlie XCX, Shawnee.
Is that a Roman numeral after his name?
It sounds like it should be the name of a cologne, doesn't it? yes, I'd like the Charlie XCX, please. I wear that and English leather exclusively.
Once in a while, Old Spice.
Oh, I can hold Spice.
High Karate.
All the good ones. All the ones you can also buy at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Billie Eilish, Birds of a Feather.
Now, I know Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish is great.
Mm-hmm.
I really like her. Sabrina Carpenter, who had the biggest song of the summer, mm-hmm. Espresso. Those are your Record of the Year nominees.
Couldn't go to any bar without hearing that song
right.
over the summer.
Yeah, that's everywhere. And now, shall we go back, Shawnee, for an artist? In fact, it was the first artist in Grammy history to win the top four awards in one year. Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Best New Artist of the Year.
Oh, all four in the same year?
This artist won all four in one year, 1971.
Oh, okay.
And this is who the artist was.
And it's too late, baby, now. It's too late. Though we really did try to make it.
Now, don't tell me you don't know who this artist is.
I do indeed. I bought this record and many others. Carole King.
Remember that incredible Tapestry album when it came out?
Yep. And not only that, now, 50-some years later, this wonderful musical.
Correct.
Based on her life. Beautiful.
It's just opened at the Drury Lane Theater, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Saw it at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, Gilda, and I.
You look so unhappy.
Last year.
It's Too Late won Record of the Year. You've Got a Friend won Song of the Year. Carly Simon won. Oh, Carly Simon. Oh, wait a minute. She didn't win all four. Carole King didn't win all four. Carly Simon won Best New Artist that year. Our Error. But Tapestry won Album of the Year that year.
You know, what's interesting, too, is when you think about it, she was a new artist, Carole King was singing, but she'd been in the music business as a composer for years.
Yeah, for like, not quite 20 years, but 15.
Yeah.
Before she ever got in front of a microphone. And sang.
Yeah. For a minute there, I thought you were going to say Stevie Wonder in the mid-70s, because he won several Grammys for You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
Right.
And that was going to be my guess.
That's where I thought we were going with it.
And that remember that Songs in the Key of Life album?
One of the best albums of the 1970s.
It had so many hits on it. I don't see it on the Grammy list, interestingly.
77, maybe?
It was late 70s.
78?
Yeah.
I still have the original records.
Of course you do. Shawnee has never thrown anything away in his house. All right. I know you've been dying to find out what's happening up in Woodstock, Illinois this morning for Groundhog Day.
You mean we're done with the quiz?
Done with the quiz.
Oh, okay.
We have to move on to Woodstock Willie. We've got priorities. It is 10:20.
I don't know.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, 7:20 WGN.
Baby, I got you.
Celebrating Groundhog Day 2025. the famous song from the famous scene.
I got you.
Done over and over and over and over again in the movie Groundhog Day. That was filmed in beautiful Woodstock, Illinois. And joining us from Woodstock right now is our pal Rick Belairs. Rick, good morning and happy Groundhog Day to you. Are you there, Rick? Hello. Okay, apparently we do not have Rick. All right. Let's see if we can figure out what happened to Rick. That was such a beautiful opening and intro that I gave him.
I thought it was masterful.
Right? I showed up early at rehearsal today.
You're even dressed a little more dapper than today?
I am dressed a little more dapper today. I have someplace to go later.
Oh, I see.
I didn't dress up for you.
Obviously, I didn't either. So,
or it's just a statement of how sloppy I usually look. Because today I do have a collared shirt on. But anyway, Rick Belairs is a longtime advocate of all things Woodstock. And he has been in contact about all the things that they've had going on in the beautiful suburb this morning, and I believe that we have reestablished contact.
There he is.
Rick Belairs, hello there, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Dean. Happy Groundhog Day.
Likewise. Likewise. So give us the Woodstock Willie prognostication to start things off here.
Well, I'm getting drowned out. You can probably hear the polka music, the soundtrack from the movie playing all around the town square, and there might be some buzzing because we've got a wood carver with a chainsaw going at a log trying to create a likeness of a groundhog. So lots going on around the Woodstock Square. But it all was about this morning at a little bit after 7 when Woodstock Willie came out from his stump and did not see his shadow, forecasting an early spring.
Ah, there you go. Very
nice. Stephen Tobolowski was our guest. He did the translation with the groundhog, read the declaration, the scroll.
Yeah.
Stephen has been around all weekend. The nicest guy, posing with people for selfies and signing autographs and telling stories. The man has, they say that the movie Groundhog Day spanned 10,000 years. Stephen has 10,000 years of stories. He's just the greatest.
Well, it's so interesting because for somebody who had a very supporting role in the movie, he has become like one of the most prominent characters to emerge from it, aside from Bill Murray, of course, playing Ned Ryerson in the movie. So it's
Somebody asked him today what his fans coming up to him had to say. And he said the most common thing when people came up to him was, bing. But when he does the cat meow, and when he does watch out for that first step, it's a doozy. He just gets people rolling.
I can only imagine.
If people missed him here in Woodstock this morning, he's going to be down at Navy Pier this afternoon. There's a tribute to Harold Ramis there and a celebration of Groundhog Day. So it continues, and Stephen will be down there this afternoon.
Yes.
The celebration's continuing on here in Woodstock. There's people milling about the square. We give out maps that highlight some of the places that were featured in the movie, like the puddle and the bed and breakfast where Bill Murray wakes up over and over again. So people are out here doing the walking tour. Not a bad day weather-wise, overcast, but not as cold as last year when Tom Skilling was here.
Yeah, well, and it's not raining like it was the other day either, that sideways rain that we had.
That weather on Friday, that was scaring me. It's like that's my worst fear for Groundhog Day,
right?
The cold wet.
Yeah, exactly. But it talk to me a little bit about what you guys have gone on out there. I like how you have taken Groundhog Day, the movie, and turned it into something special for this beautiful community of Woodstock.
I heard Stephen telling somebody earlier that at this point it's not about the movie. I mean, there's all these little kids here. I mean, the movie's 30 years old. There are lots of people here who weren't even born when the movie came out. And at this point, the festivities in Woodstock are more about Groundhog Day than the movie. We probably had 5,000 people in the park in the town square in Woodstock today.
Wow.
They've been showing the movie at the Woodstock Theater over and over again. The people coming into the park in the square this morning, I mean, I do this most every year, and I've never seen people come so early. The square was packed. But again, it helped that they didn't have to sit in their car and keep warm, that they could come out and jockey for position so they had a good view of the groundhog when he came out.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what's going to be going on today? I have to think they're showing the movie in the theater right there, right?
Classic Cinema's Woodstock Theater came up with the idea this year for a rolling start. So they've been starting the movie about every half hour. They have eight different auditoriums. So they start it, and then people queue up, and they start it over again. So it's been, you know, rather than having, you know, 800 people show up all at once for tickets and a bucket of popcorn, now it's kind of a staggered start. And then they, when it ends, they start it over again. So we've got the movie going on. Bob Hudgens is going to be leading a walking tour around town beginning at noon. Bob was the locations manager and worked with Harold Ramis to bring him and the production here to Woodstock. He's come back almost every year. He has some great behind-the-scenes stories. It's really fun to hear him tell stories and lead the tour to, as I said, the Puddle and Bed and Breakfast and other places in the movie. So that's going on. And then this year, Theater 121, the local theater group in the Woodstock Opera House, is doing a production of Groundhog Day, the musical. And they have performances today at 1 and 6, and I think they still have tickets available if people want to go online and look for that. It was partially written by Danny Rubin. Danny Rubin wrote the original story for Groundhog Day, then worked with Harold Ramis to create the movie script. Then he went on and worked with Tim Minchin to create the musical. It opened in London in 2016. It was on Broadway in 2017. And for the first time, it's being performed in Woodstock on Groundhog Day. And we're pretty excited about that.
How was it that Woodstock was chosen to be the filming location for this? How did Harold Ramis choose that, Rick? Do you know?
Sure. One of the stories that Bob Hudgens tells, and it is he was helping them scout for town. Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, being from Chicago, wanted to work closer to home. They didn't want to go to Pennsylvania. So they were looking around at Midwest towns. Punxsutawney is a Main Street town, so they were looking at towns with more of a Main Street look. And they kept going. I mean, they went to 100 different towns from Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, looking at towns, and they just weren't finding what they wanted. They were in Baraboo, Wisconsin, which has a town square, and Harold started warming up to the idea and asked Bob if he knew any other towns with a square. And, of course, Bob had suggested Woodstock back at the beginning when the search started, but it kind of got pushed aside. So Bob brought up Woodstock again. Bob was familiar with Woodstock because he had worked on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy and Steve Martin. Mm. There was a scene shot on the Woodstock Square. So Bob was familiar with it. They were coming back from Wisconsin, heading for Chicago anyway. They swung through Woodstock. Bob met with the director of the Woodstock Opera House. They went up into the bell tower. He looked down on the square. He turned to his production team and said, "Make it happen." And the movie was made here in Woodstock. Damn. So it was 1992 when they filmed it. And people always ask how long. It was like March, April, and into May, which posed problems. It was supposed to be February in winter, and some of the trees were starting to bud. They were putting camouflage mesh netting over some of the bushes that were starting to turn green and all, and they were creating fake snow, but that's the magic of movies.
Yeah, and the rest is film history. Lots going on in beautiful Woodstock. Thank you for the update. Please thank Woodstock Willie for us for the early spring that he has predicted.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you, and I hope you have a really fun day today. Thank you, Rick.
Great, thanks. Happy Groundhog Day.
10:37. And time for the Week in Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? Got a lot of big doings going on. Plus, The announcement was made yesterday for the 2025-2026 season at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. We'll talk with Jim Cordy, their artistic director, give you the details on what's coming to the Paramount for later on this season, this year and next year. While we're talking about the Paramount, though, I wanted to remind you that we've got another one of our Dean's Night Out coming up. We're going to go see their latest production, which is the musical Waitress, the Grammy Award-winning Waitress, nominated for 4 Tony Awards based on the 2007 film of the same name. Waitress Jenna looking to bake her way out of troubles and find the ingredients for her own happiness. Now, we're going to go see the show on February 28th, and you could win 2 tickets to join me, both for a pre-show reception and then also tickets for the show. And the way that you can enter to win is by going to WGNradio.com/contests. WGNradio.com/contests. The sweepstakes will end February 19th, 11:59 p.m. Central Time. So go to WGNradio.com/contests, and maybe you'll join us to go see the musical Waitress. And while we're talking about musicals here real quick, the musical that we were just talking about with the Grammy Awards, Beautiful, the Carole King musical, is just opening now on stage at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace. It's going to be playing there now through March the 23rd. If you've never seen Beautiful, you must see this show. It is the story of Carole King's journey as a songwriter, becoming a performer, everything in front of and behind the cameras. It's just a wonderful story and wonderful, wonderful songs like Tapestry and Beautiful and, you know, the It's Too Late, You've Got a Friend, I Feel the Earth Move. The Carole King songbook goes on and on and on and on. So that's at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. Tell you what, we've got a pair of tickets to give away for that. If you are my 10th caller right now on the contest line, we'll give you a pair of tickets to see Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Caller 10, 312-981-7200. One of my favorite musicals of the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something when it first came out. Very moving, very touching, very entertaining. Dear Evan Hansen is coming to the Paramount. It's going to be part of their brand new season, which was just announced yesterday, the 2025-2026 Broadway and Bold series lineups. And here to tell us more about it, our longtime pal Jim Cordy, the artistic director for the Paramount. Hello there, my friend. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey. Hi, Dean. All's well.
It should be with this lineup that you've got that was just right. Announced. I'm so excited about Dear Evan Hansen.
I saw it too, and I was blown away by it. I saw it on Broadway, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it with, Ben Platt?
I did not.
With Ben Platt.
I saw Ben Platt's understudy, and I could not believe that Ben Platt was better than this guy.
Yeah.
I was just breathtaking.
Yeah.
What a great piece of musical theater.
Yeah, I saw Ben do the show, and I'm a huge fan of his. When he was here in Chicago in Book of Mormons, he was a standout. And then he won the Tony Award for Dear Evan Hansen. And then the production came to one of the theaters downtown, and I thought, well, nobody's ever going to be able to, you know, do the job that Ben did. And the actor that did have that role, the Evan Hansen role, was amazing and was quite great. And that's fully what I expect when Dear Evan Hansen kicks off the 2025-26 season out at the Paramount. Tell us what else you all have planned out there.
Well, Dear Evan Hansen is our third show in the season. It's the season opens with Come From Away in August.
Okay.
And it is the Chicago area premiere. I don't know how familiar people are with Come From Away, but we all remember 9/11, and it's based on how airspace was shut down, and there were a good 38 international aircrafts diverted to the small Newfoundland island, this town of Gander, just east of the east coast of Canada. 7,000 passengers were taken in by the townspeople. It's an incredible story of community and compassion and how these folks took on the passengers like family, housed them, fed them, clothed them, gave them comfort. Show's nominated for 7 Tony Awards. It's quite a sensation, quite a story about the nobility of our human selves. Great music, great characters.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really great songs. And this will be, when you say Chicago area premiere, the first time that the production will actually be produced by a Chicago area theater, not a touring
company
coming
through.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I call it, it's going to get the Paramount treatment. What you guys do to shows that you think you know, that you may have seen before, and then it gets the Paramount treatment, the Jim Cordy treatment, and are completely redefined and, you know, bring a whole new life to shows. That's what the Paramount really has become famous for. So we start off the season then with Come From Away. That will probably take us then to the holiday show that you guys have become so famous for, which will be what?
White Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah. It's the great Irving Berlin songbook here. It was put together in 2008 on Broadway. But it's based on the film everybody loves, the 1954 film with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye and Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen. It's just full of great songs. Happy Holidays, Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep.
Sisters.
And White Christmas.
Sisters.
Sisters. What is it? There's Blue Skies. I got my love to keep me warm.
Right, right. Snow.
No.
Isn't that funny? Like we know these songs because we grew up with the movie. Now it comes to life on stage with, I'm guessing, amazing dance numbers. Also, I don't even know if you guys have started, you know, if it's too early in the game that you've even started working on that. But I got to think some of the dance productions for that show have to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it actually won a Tony for its dances, for its choreography. And that 2008 production. So it's full of dance. You know, it's these two guys in World War II who form a dance team, and then they're following the sister act, and there's all this romance happens in this hotel where they're staying. But it's full of great songs, great dances, and it's really a compelling story too. After World War II, and the general who owns the resort where they're all staying and performing.
That's going to be fun. That'll be fun. That's White Christmas, which will be November 12th through January 11th. November 12th, 2025 to January 11th, 2026. And then it'll be Dear Evan Hansen. That'll be coming through. How do you describe the plot line of this one?
This kid, 17-year-old kid, who's Evan, he's bullied. He suffers from social anxiety and depression. And it's a real contemporary story about how fake emails get blown out of proportion on the internet and cause this upheaval in the teenager's life. But it's just so full of great songs and the story and the characters, the parents, the fellow students, the other his friends in the story. Very, very compelling and a real... it's a real champion of, again, of what we go through as human beings, how we see ourselves in these stories.
I mean, if you've
very relatable.
If you've ever felt different, if you've ever felt alone, particularly when you were in high school, who didn't feel different or weird or, you know, something? I think most people did in high school.
Yeah.
This is the show for you, but... told in a very uplifting and positive way. This would be a great one to bring the kids to come and see.
Yeah.
And it's a very contemporary show, a very high-tech show as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it speaks the language that young people speak technologically.
Right.
So Dear Evan Hansen, let me see here, is February 4th through March 22nd of 2026, and then... The fourth show for the Broadway series is another true classic.
Yeah, South Pacific. Rarely done. It takes place during World War II. There's a nurse, an ensign, Nellie Forbush, is stationed in the South Pacific. She falls in love with Emile Debeck, an expatriate who is there on the island. And you just love Nellie Forbush. You fall in love with her.
Yeah.
She falls in love with Emile Debeck. And then things take a turn when she struggles to accept the children of his mixed-race marriage, Emile's late wife, had died. And there's also the storyline of the Marine Lieutenant Cable and the young Tompanese woman, Liat, he falls in love with. And he's dealing with the social consequences of bringing her to the States as his bride. These very profound issues are the storyline of some of the greatest songs of the golden age of musicals. Some Enchanted Evening, Valley High, and then Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair.
There's some.
I'm in love with a wonderful guy, younger than springtime.
Classics.
I think people, you know, they'll play these recordings and just remember the lushness and the fun of all this music, and forget about how serious the story is.
Yeah.
And how relevant it is right now.
That's going to be April 29th or June 14th at the Paramount. It's part of their new Broadway series, but you also have the Bold series. What is the Bold series exactly?
The Bold series is like, it came out of, we were a few years into our Broadway series, and, you know, Tim is ever enterprising and looking ahead. You know, there are folks who are like, musicals aren't my thing. And we wanted to think about what we could do about developing an audience for, you know, everything has a happy ending, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. There's a whole world of plays and genres of plays that have very little to do with that. And they're Pulitzer Prize winners. They really make a mark in how people enjoy the theater. And that's what the Bold series is about.
Yeah, well, these shows for the Bold series are ones that are performed in the Copley Theater, which is right across the street from the big old Paramount. So it's a it's a more intimate setting. And the shows that will be featured this year are called True West, Covenant, and Cyclone, the musical.
Right. Ride the Cyclone.
Ride the Cyclone, the musical. Which one are you most excited about? Which child do you like best?
The one I'm working on, True West.
Okay. All right.
I'm directing with an incredible team. True West is by the great Sam Shepard.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He won a Pulitzer Prize in 1979 for Barry Child and got a Pulitzer nomination in 1983 for True West. It made its debut off-Broadway in 1980. But the thing about True West is Steppenwolf picked it up and did a production here in Chicago in 1982 that starred Gary Sinise and John Malkovich.
Mm.
And True West became this famous American play, and Sam Shepard became regarded as one of the greatest playwrights of his generation because of that production at Steppenwolf. I ushered for it.
Oh, no kidding. Isn't that funny?
It was so long ago, you know, 1982. Where the hell was I? But I was at the Steppenwolf ushering. I don't know who I knew. I guess I couldn't get a ticket, and I got into usher. And I remember sitting on the steps in the aisle watching Gary Sinise and John Malkovich and Laurie Metcalf playing their mother.
Wow. What a trio. It's part of the Bold series at the True West, part of the Paramount's 2025-26 Bold series. If people want to get info on these shows, Jim, what's the best way to do that?
You just call our box office. And, of course, there's ParamountAurora.com.
Yeah.
But are you talking about what the plays are about?
Well, no, to get, you know, dates and so forth.
Yeah.
ParamountAurora.com or 630-896-6666. And just as a side note, Million Dollar Quartet continues to burn it up at the Stolp Island Theater there, right?
Thank you. Yeah, it just got extended into this summer.
Oh,
it's
man,
going
that's great.
Into June.
That's great.
So yeah, you got to keep flipping the pages there when you're looking for tickets on the calendar.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's such go ahead. Yeah, it's such a good show. It's such a great show. Jim Cordy's the.
You open up, and you will get a ticket.
Could eventually be patient. Jim Cordy's the artistic director of the Paramount and Aurora. Hope you have a great Sunday today, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dean.
All right. So you heard the report from Woodstock, Illinois. Woodstock Willie.
We're going to go with that one.
Yeah, we've had Woodstock Willie or predict an early spring. And the rodent in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, did the same thing.
Two out of three.
So fy on that Puxitani Phil and his magic stick or whatever what nutty stuff. That
no,
you
the magic cane.
I think you were drunk when you were doing. No.
The president of the Inner Circle used his magic cane to determine which of the two scrolls that Phil wanted to be read.
Don't try to make this sound scientific.
I wonder what else these guys can predict. Put them through a series of tests or something.
They can predict how stupid we are listening to it all. I had forgotten the song.
Don't know why I didn't come. I've
forgotten how incredible, beautiful it is. Norah Jones, Shawnee. The song is called Don't Know Why. And it was one of the songs. Tonight are the Grammy Awards. And we're going back and remembering past winners. Norah Jones in 2002, one of the very few artists to win the four top awards, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Best New Artist of the Year.
Yeah, big year for her. And she's still out there doing it.
Is she really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's still there.
Very jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
That's sultry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what that is. That's sultry.
Yep. And a little mix of, Billie Holiday, and even if you want to go way back, you know.
Yeah.
The Sarah Vaughan, perhaps.
The only other artist that I could find, I was looking at the list, unless I'm missing it. I don't think I am. Was Billie Eilish that won all four of the top awards in 2019?
She won all four?
Record of the Year for her song Bad Guy, Song of the Year, same thing, Best New Artist, and also Best Album of the Year, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? So I think there are only two artists, if I'm reading this right, that won all four of the top awards. We'll see what happens tonight. Beyonce is the top Grammy Award winner right now. She's got 32 Grammy Awards. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, that's right. She topped the person who had the most Grammys for a long time was Chicago the former connection. Conductor of the Chicago Symphony, Sir George Schulte.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Henry Mancini wasn't all that far behind.
But
now it's Beyonce, yeah.
Sir George, the late Sir George, 31.
Yeah.
He's only one behind Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
He rocked, man.
He did. He did. And some of those were they weren't all done with the Chicago Symphony. There were other orchestras in Europe that he recorded with and that won also.
His last win was for Best Opera Recording for Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg.
Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg.
That's what I said.
I know. By Richard Wagner.
The Meistersinger.
That means the master singer of Nuremberg.
Hey, I'm the master singer. Hey, yeah.
That's part of the big production number, isn't it?
Hey. Quincy Jones after that with 28.
Yeah, the late Quincy Jones now.
They're going to do a big tribute to
him. Oh, good, good.
On the Grammys.
Yeah, absolutely. They should.
Alison Krauss holds the distinction as the woman artist with the most Grammy Awards in the country field. Now, her music is more like bluegrass and Americana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alison Krauss?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chick Corea.
Another late.
A jazz.
Jazz person, Chick Corea.
27. He and Alison Krauss tie with 27. And then after that, it's John Williams, who, besides his speed jokes, also is a big Grammy.
I think two different John Williams there.
Yeah, who knew? Speed jokes and 26 Grammy Awards.
Speed jokes.
The man can compose and conduct music, but he also tells jokes.
But he does speed jokes. the great John Williams with classic soundtracks for movies like Star Wars, Schindler's List, Star Wars, the list goes on and on and on. Stevie Wonder with 25, Jay-Z with 24, Kanye West. Shawnee is the regional president of the Kanye West fan club. I don't know why, but he is. To each his own, I guess. Hank Mancini, who was he was hanging in there as like one of the top. Well,
he's got 20 something, doesn't
he's
he?
He's got 20, exactly
20. 20, okay.
Exactly 20.
Did he win also Academy Awards for some movie soundtracks also?
He had to, because he did. He did Moon River.
Did Moon River.
Did Days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah. Silver Streak. Remember that?
Pink Panther?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We're the best dot-dot-dot singers you've ever heard before.
We do have a sing-along portion of the show here, Kevin. Yeah. If you care to join in, be our guest.
It's a karaoke portion of the
That's
show.
That's right.
Give me a number. I'm ready to go.
John Williams has speed jokes. We have karaoke.
La, 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 la.
Oh, look at you.
La, la, ho, ho, ho.
Aretha Franklin with 18. Paul McCartney with 18. Isn't that interesting that the Beatles have only won seven?
As a group.
As a group. Paul McCartney with 18.
Now, do you know, or do we know if Paul and or Ringo will be at the ceremony tonight for this nomination?
I haven't heard.
Okay.
I feel like they got to be, right?
I would think, yeah.
That's funny, because I was talking to Ringo just yesterday, and he think he would have mentioned.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You guys get drinks after work?
We drink during the show.
You know what? I got to see Ringo up close at the WGN studios when we were over at 435 North Michigan.
Or as I like to call it.
Go ahead.
That old dump.
The old dump. He was on with the great Roy Leonard in studio.
That's cool.
And he came out of the studio, and there were a number of people that worked at the station that just wanted an autograph or to say hello.
Sure.
And he was very cordial. He was very, very gracious to them. So that was my little brush with the legends the Beatles.
I interviewed Tony Bennett at the old dump on Michigan
Avenue.
Did
you? Yeah.
That's neat.
That was pretty cool.
That is neat.
I interviewed Barbara Eden.
I remember. Oh, yes. And there's a story. There's a side story to that interview.
She's the only guest I've ever had so far that flashed me.
Okay, now.
And it wasn't.
Hello, master. We were sitting in the window. Because we had that studio right on Michigan Avenue. And she said, wow, this must be really interesting and distracting. And I told her my standard joke that I told everybody when they commented on the window. I said, yeah, the window's great until somebody sticks their butt up against the window. And she laughed. And we finished the interview. And then when she left, she goes outside. I see her out on the street, like waiting for a car or taxi or something, and she runs back up against the window, and she flashed me.
That's committing to the bit right there. That's that's pretty good. Did you talk to her from the microphone inside? I know there was a microphone.
There was.
Yes, yeah.
I was too flabbergasted to say a word. I don't want to try to upstage Roy at all, but I've had my moments of glory. I'll bet Ringo didn't flash Roy.
No, I don't think so.
There you go.
Henry Mancini was on Roy's show also.
Oh,
he was down.
Are you kidding me? Everybody. Yeah. I remember one night Lauren Bacall was on with Roy. In the studio.
Oh, man.
Like for an hour, maybe more, at least an hour. Roy had the biggest stars in the world.
He had Jimmy Stewart on.
Without a doubt, Sugar Roy Leonard, the greatest. That's when an interview was an interview.
Indeed. You know who else he had was now the late President Carter there around 1989 or so.
President Carter came to WGN several times.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, promoting
awesome.
Books. Yeah, mm-hmm. Promoting books.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the control room once when Jimmy Carter was on the afternoon show, and just fascinated listening to him talk about it had to be one of his final appearances. It wasn't that long ago. But, yeah, we had Hillary Clinton was in with Kathy and Judy. That studio, if that studio could talk, tell you what.
And, you know, what was interesting is once we had to vacate the premises, when they had the restaurant there, the Howells and Hood, I believe it was.
Yes.
I'd go in there and I would just kind of recreate the layout of the station, you know, when you'd walk in, you'd say, okay, now am I in the office area here? And yeah. I think we're in master control now.
Yeah. You go around the restaurant going, yeah. This is where Wally Phillips' office used to be.
That's right.
This is where Bob Collins' office used to be. And my office is where the men's room was at the restaurant. I personally requested
that. I thought it was the custodian's closet, Darren.
Yeah, well, you call it what you want. But that's what it
was. My computer and my desk were in there.
Yeah, exactly right. So an interesting, I guess, survey, you might say, has come out that has recognized what is the most welcoming city in the country. What part of the world do you think the most welcoming city in the country is?
Wait a minute. What part of the world is the most welcoming city?
Part of the U.S.
Oh, part of the U.S.
Yeah,
okay.
This is according to Travel and Leisure.
Well, I think Chicago is. I think Chicago is a quite welcoming city.
Not even in the top 10.
But you know what? Perhaps in, you know, traveling, one of the most welcoming cities I've ever been in, Charleston, South Carolina.
I was going to say the Carolinas.
Charleston, South Carolina. You can just be walking down the street, strolling around, and people will just come up to you and say, can we help you? You know,
yeah.
Just really, really, really friendly.
Yeah.
But Chicago is not in the top 10.
Not even in the top 10.
What about Asheville, North Carolina?
Asheville, North Carolina would be.
Not in the top 10.
Nope.
The according to Travel and Leisure magazine, the most welcoming city in the United States of America is St. Augustine, Florida.
It is a very friendly town.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of history there. That may be one of, if not the oldest,
I think that,
continuously operating cities in the country.
I think it says that on the sign.
Early 1600s.
Yeah, I've driven through. I didn't stop to find out their friendliness.
Well, we went into a very crowded restaurant, and they still got us a table there. It was really neat.
They knew who you were.
You're Dave Schwann.
Yeah, they knew who you were.
Ooh, Dave Schwann's here. Get him a table right away.
No.
And pour on the friendliness while he's here. I know he may seem annoying, but be friendly to him.
Is Knoxville, Tennessee on that list? Anywhere in Tennessee?
No place in Tennessee is on the list.
Knoxville's a friendly town.
Yeah, I've had some good.
I find many southern cities to be extremely friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I was going.
Cape May, New Jersey. I don't even know where that is. Mm-hmm. Newport, Rhode Island's number 3.
Okay.
Joshua Tree, California.
Near the National Park.
Yeah. That's where they have the big music festival there also. Sedona, Arizona. Lahaina. Lahaina, Hawaii.
That's where they had the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. It's number 6. Oakhurst, California. Waikalua, Hawaii. Number 8. Prescott, Arizona. Number 9. And Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
Interesting list.
According to Travel and Leisure magazine.
No Chicago. Is Chicago even mentioned in there or whatsoever?
I'm trying to find the full article.
I feel like we're not that mean. We've got to be in there somewhere.
Well, you know what the problem is. How long have we been over here on Wacker Drive now, Schwanny? 7-8 years, something?
I'd say 6 or 7 now, yeah.
I feel like I was a really good representative of the city of Chicago in the window. for tourists who were coming down. I would, Shwani, you saw me many times.
Oh, yes.
Interacting with people on the street. Welcoming them to our fine
Making
city.
Faces at them.
I would make funny faces at the little kids to make them laugh. And to this day, those kids go, who is that weird bald guy in the window?
Yep. Yep.
But Who's that weird guy cooking stuff at Jewel?
I feel like if I were still in the window, if that were not a mattress store over there on Michigan Avenue now, if I were over there still in the window, we could have gotten on this.
We would have been on the list?
Yeah. But no. We're up here on the 18th floor.
No one can see us.
No one can see my antics up here.
There was a reason we moved to the 18th floor.
Shwani's the only one that can enjoy my funny faces now. I almost called you at home the other day.
Why?
As I was watching something on television, and I was going to tell you that it was on, number one.
Yeah.
But
okay,
I thought only Shwani can be enjoying this as much as I am.
Do I have to guess what show it was?
Listen.
Now, gentlemen, try and remember everything that you have been taught. And if your debut into society tonight is successful, the money is yours.
Professor Quackenbush, have no qualms or trepidations.
We will justify your faith in us indubitably, sir.
Professor, the vicissitudes we've encountered have elevated us to a lofty position. Thank you, gentlemen. Come, I'll introduce you. Good evening.
Good evening.
May I introduce my three protégés, Mrs. Gottrogs?
Delighted.
Devastated. Dilapidated. And the Counter Spritzwasser.
Enchanted.
Enraptured.
Embalmed.
Oh, pardon us.
Quaint, aren't they, but cute.
I hope you have your checkbook with you.
It's a miracle. But the evening is still young.
This is the episode.
Good evening, Miss Lulu.
Oh, wait.
Aye, but you look charming.
Oh, thank you, boys. You look charming, too. Oh, by the way, may I present Mrs. Smythe?
Ooh, very, very happy, happy.
Oh, Champagne.
Curly's sticking a bottle of champagne in his pocket. This is the Three Stooges short, Half Wits Holiday, where two professors make a bet that they can take these three morons and turn them into, you know, proper for polite society.
Was the wager $1,000 or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Isn't he gallant?
He's gallant.
Would you please excuse us?
I'm telling you. It's like I should call Shwani right now. Nobody would enjoy this as much as me than Shwani.
That's one of the one of many high society where they're placed in a elegant setting, and of course disrupt the place.
Right. Yeah, this is where the pies go flying
toward the end,
and the famous line, "Why, young man, you look like as though the sword of Damocles is hanging over your head."
Lady, you should see what's hanging over your head.
Okay, I know we're all idiots, but sorry. This is what we enjoyed. This was, I'm told, I was reading about it, the final short that Curly made.
Yeah, it was there was a remake of it, something similar, and if you'll notice at the end, he's not in it because he had his stroke, and wasn't able to finish it.
Yeah,
so they kind of, you know, did the pie fight without him.
His his speech is definitely affected in this. It's different.
Lost a lot of weight,
but apparently that was the final one.
So. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you wondering how, you know, we fancy schmancy radio people spend our spare time when we're at home.
And do graduate coursework on this, too.
It's Shwani and I.
To get advanced degrees.
Shwani and I really, we would have gotten PhDs at this point on Three Stoogedom. This is how we spend our time. And we welcome you to it.
Ma'am, somebody's at
11:39. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN Radio, and time for our A-list interviews with the stars. And we go to the weekend box office for this weekend's A-list interviews. A couple of the stars from what is now the number one movie in America, Dog Man. If you've got kids or grandkids, and especially you know, boys, sons or grandsons, you are probably already familiar with Dog Man. It's a super popular book series, and now it's been adapted to the big screen with people like Pete Davidson behind the voices, Ricky Gervais, Isla Fisher, Chicago's very own Lil Rel Howery, among the voice talent in this film. I gave it a Dean's List B. I really, you know, am not familiar with the book series, but I am told by so many of my coworkers who do have young boys that, you know, it's super popular with the kids. This movie follows the storyline and the look and the feel of the book series tremendously. So it's probably one of the reasons that it's doing so well at the box office. So far, it has taken in $36 million for the opening weekend, and that's good enough to take its place in the number one spot for the weekend. After that, it looks like the sci-fi thriller Companion came in the number two spot with $9.5 million. We've got Flight Risk, the Mark Wahlberg movie, in the top five. We have got Moana 2 still in the top five. So, you know, the movie's going strong. Interestingly, with all the Oscar movies that are out right now, and everything is, all the Oscar movies are in theaters, and it's a pretty artsy kind of dark year for Oscar-nominated movies this year. Just fell out that way. People are going for the mass population kind of popcorn films, like Dog Man, like Flight Risk, like Moana 2. These are all movies that are, you know, not even close to being Oscar-nominated movies. Nothing wrong with them, but it's just a different kind of movie. It's just pure entertainment, you know, without the deep-seated messages, without the three-and-a-half-hour length, without subtitles. Those are the movies that people are going for, and how I think Oscar missed the boat in many of their nominations this year. But that's what people went for at the theaters. Now, we talked with a couple of the stars of Dog Man. Lil Rel Howery is a longtime pal of our TV morning show. He's a longtime Chicago stand-up comedian. He's worked his way into many acting roles in lots of movies and TV shows through the years. Super nice guy, and now is one of the voices in this new Dogman movie. Isla Fisher also has been featured in many, many motion pictures. Probably one of her biggest claims to fame is she is now the former Mrs. Sacha Baron Cohen. She was married to Borat. And you can imagine how challenging that was, how both entertaining and ultimately challenging that must have been. They split up last year, but also very nice Australian actress. We talked with both of them about the difference between doing on-camera acting roles and voice-only acting roles.
Talk to me a little bit about doing voice acting. Is it different than when you're doing on-camera roles, Isla?
Yes, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of these films, and it's very different. You can screw your face up in a way that nobody is watching. It's so fun. You can literally, to get the performance, you can like be on all fours, bark. You can do anything you want, and that is so liberating, and it just, and you just can play in a different way.
Rel, do you have the same kind of experience?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the same. And also, though, like, I remember, like, some of the earlier stuff I would do, I would just focus on the voice. But then, you know, you start learning, like, I really have to perform this as if I am in front of the camera to give it everything I can give it. So, like, with Chief in this movie, I was very animated while we were doing it. So, like, even, like, I was watching, like, clips of us doing it in person where, you know, they record us while we're doing it. And it was so much of me laughing. I was laughing so much after doing a lot of these takes. It was so much fun to do. But it's kind of the same, but it's not.
Yeah. Now, Arel, I'm wondering about your favorite animated shows or movies that you grew up with. You know, Arel, we grew up, you know, I also grew up here in Chicago. So you and I may have watched, you know, the same kinds of things growing up here on good old Channel 9. You know, what about it? What did you grow up with?
Well, let's go with Channel 9. Like, people forget G.I. Joe was the thing.
G.I. Joe? I never saw G.I. Joe in Australia.
For real?
No.
G.I. Joe was crazy. And this was a time where, like, before they had, like, did the movies, it was like a special week. Like a special episodes of G.I. Joe over 3 days straight, you know, where they introduced Sergeant Slaughter for the first time. But that was on WGN. People forget that's what like WGN was interesting. Well, a lot of my favorite cartoons came from WGN. And just even just my favorite children's shows. You know, the Bozo Show, you know, that was such a big, it was a clown called Bozo the Clown where you could, it was a regular bike they was giving away when I got older. I was like, man, that bike was like a car to me.
Yeah.
As a kid, like,
that's right.
A Schwinn bicycle.
That's right.
Schwinn's expensive. I just bought a Schwinn for my son.
Really? That was like the Lamborghinis for kids.
Still is. Bike. Still is.
Yeah. And all you had to do was hit bucket number 6 on the bucket game, remember? Yeah,
they had like 9 buckets. It was just, it was one of the craziest. Yeah,
it's still popular. People go crazy when we drag the buckets out. People go crazy. Next time you come home, we want to have you come here and play the game.
Let me tell you something. I opened the door. It was a random door. I was there last time, and I saw the buckets. And I almost walked in there and started playing.
Oh, that's so cute.
For no reason at all.
Next time we're going to set the whole thing up for you so you can play it and, you know, maybe have some prizes and all that. Also, I have to say, Rel, you look amazing. I mean, I saw the Men's Health piece on you, which is amazing. But you look so healthy. Tell everybody what you're doing and, you know, how you got this way.
Come on, I want to be in Men's Health.
But you also look pretty amazing as well, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You know something? It's funny because one thing I love about that piece, and shout out to Men's Health, because it was one of those surreal moments. I remember when we were shooting the video portion of it, and I don't remember what the question they asked me, and they were just, but it felt surreal. I almost got like teary eyed. Because it was such a goal of mine, and to end up being in a profile of Men's Health, I didn't even think through my own personal journey, that something like that would even happen. It was really just focusing on myself. This is the happiest I've ever been. Like, focusing on my health and my mental and my spirit. It's been a beautiful journey. And shout out to Wifey, too. Like, she's a big part of this. She's been very motivating and just loving on me the correct way, to want me to be the best of myself in every aspect of my life.
You look fantastic. Congratulations, both of you.
Thank you so much.
With this, I'm glad you're in good health because you're going to need that throwing arm when you play the bucket game over here.
Good callback.
Yeah, there is Isla Fisher and her co-star Lil Rel Howery, one of Chicago's very own, the pride of the west side of Chicago, going from stand-up comedy to acting and now doing a voice role in this new movie, Dog Man. The Men's Health magazine that we were talking about, the profile that they did on him, was because he lost, he hasn't said how much weight he lost completely, but he looks like he's lost easily 50 pounds. He is just a different person. He claims he didn't use Ozempic. He didn't use any of the weight loss injections, that he did it with diet and exercise. So good for him. He looks terrific and couldn't be happier for him. This movie Dogman, by the way, if you've got kids or grandkids, it is in theaters now. It's rated PG. I think it's a pretty good movie, and I think that they probably would
enjoy that. It's 11:50, and we're coming up on... I have to take off early today. I've got some family obligations today, so I have to take off. We'll get to the best of Steve Dale coming up after 12 o'clock. But before I do, I just wanted to recap some of the Grammy information, because the Grammy Awards are tonight. As always, tomorrow morning, I'll have the recap of it all. A lot of you don't care for watching award shows, although I think this is going to be an interesting one, because the Grammys are going to take place in Los Angeles in the wake of the California wildfires. So there is going to be a, you know, a little bit of a serious tone to the show. And they are going to be soliciting donations during the show for the Los Angeles fire relief effort. So, you know, they're going to try to raise a lot of money tonight. Trevor Noah is the host. So it's going to be kind of interesting, I think, of how they present all this and how they balance the seriousness of what's happened in Los Angeles with a traditional award show. So I'll have all the high. If you don't watch it tonight, I will have all the highlights tomorrow morning on Bob Surratt Show. 8 to 8:30 is when I do my segment with Bob, and you know, we talk about all things entertainment. We'll have that then, and of course on the WGN TV morning news as well. Now, the Grammy Awards, to me, I'm like a lot of people. You know, I'm not as familiar with some of the new artists as young people are. You know, all the new artists are mostly for young people, right? I know Billie Eilish. I know Chappell Roan. I know Charlie XCX. I know Sabrina Carpenter. You couldn't go any place this past summer without hearing her song Espresso. Shakira, I know. They all will be performing tonight, all of those. Brad Paisley will be performing tonight. Coldplay's Chris Martin is one of the scheduled performers. Cynthia Erivo, who is nominated for an Academy Award for her role as Elphaba in the musical movie Wicked, is one of the scheduled performers tonight. They have John Legend. They have Lainey Wilson, Sheryl Crow, Stevie Wonder, all set to take the stage at the Grammy Awards for tonight. Herbie Hancock, if you're a jazz fan, Janelle Monáe, Brittany Howard. I mean, it's a long list of performers, which is one of the reasons that I like and I enjoy watching the Grammy Awards. I love watching all the musical performances. And sometimes I sit there going, what the heck is that? I react like my dad did when the Beatles came on. What the heck is that? That's not music that they're doing. And sometimes it's just amazing. You know, the music is amazing. The poetry is amazing. The songwriting, the production values. I still think it's amazing of how they get all these bands set up on different stages and present it in a fairly flawless manner. It all starts at 7 o'clock tonight. It's on CBS. Or if you rather watch online, you can stream it all on Paramount Plus. They do have some pre-ceremony red carpet shows, performance shows. If you're interested in all that, then there you go. Beyonce, who already has 32 Grammy Awards, the most of any artist in history, is up for 11 more tonight. So we'll see what happens. She's nominated for songs from her Cowboy Carter album. And, you know, it's very likely to win quite a few awards. Taylor Swift is up for quite a few awards tonight. So, you know, really two of the biggest superstars in the world could be competing against each other tonight. And we'll see who's winds up being a winner. Kendrick Lamar, Charlie XCX, and Billie Eilish each have 7 nominations. So, you know, there you go. That's that's pretty much it in a nutshell of the, you know, getting ready before you watch. These are some of the things that you may, you know, want to know about all that. As I'd mentioned, I'm going to be leaving now in a few minutes. I have to take off a little early for a family obligation. So I thank you all for listening, as always. Always appreciate it. And we'll look forward to giving you the recap of everything tomorrow morning on Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30. It's when we, excuse me, that's when we talk entertainment. Sounds like my voice is giving out just as I have to leave. Let me take a little sip here real quick. All right.
You going to make it in there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you know the Heimlich maneuver?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure that I need it.
I don't think you need it. No.
All right. I don't know. It's dry or something.
Oh, I've had dry throat and stuffed up head. Let's talk about symptoms here.
Nothing more entertaining than listening to two old guys talk about their medical illnesses. Yeah. What medications do you take? No, I think I'm okay now. But anyway, I was. Thanks for jumping in there, though.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
You are a very professional broadcaster.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You saw that I was ailing, and you jumped right in.
Always ready to help you, Dean.
Okay. Tomorrow morning and Monday through
You'll
Friday.
You'll have a complete rundown of the Grammys tomorrow morning.
I'm killing time. So, yes, I've got that several times said. I'll have the complete recap tomorrow morning. Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30, and then tomorrow morning on the WGN Morning News. Anything else?
That's it for now.
That's all I got.